wonderful course, all right? What a wonderful course. Some of those old choruses we lose, and if we don't sing them, so it's a good thing to sing them every now and then, all right? And that'll give you, if you didn't know it, that'll give you one to sing during the week, you know. You can, and you'll say, man, I can't remember all the words. Okay, make them up, all right? That's what my wife does all the time. She makes up the words to it, but that's okay. I kind of get a kick out of hearing her sing the new song, all right? Take your Bible, if will, this morning. Let's go to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. I don't know how many of you have ever invited people to come to church and they've said, I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll be there Sunday. I've had four people tell me they were going to do their best to be here today. They would be there. And some of them said, we'll be there. We'll be there. So I got a sermon ready to preach to them, and they didn't show up. So I don't have anything to preach this morning. So we'll just pray and go home. All right? No, we're not going to do that. Actually, I didn't prepare a sermon for them. I prepared a sermon for everybody, okay? And the Word of God's good for everybody. And some of you, though, think probably, preacher, he knew I was coming, so he preached that sermon. No, I didn't, all right? The Lord gives me the sermons and the message to preach, and it was after I knew what I was going to preach. They said they'd come, and I thought, well, this would help them if they'd come. But, hey, they didn't show up, but I'm glad you did. And listen to me, it'll help you if you'll listen. And you'll allow God to speak to your heart today, all right? We're going to begin reading there, Numbers 32. We're going to begin reading at verse 20. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, really, of Moses' warning to us. Moses' warning to us. I've been preaching on Wednesday night from the life of Moses. And if you haven't been listening and you haven't showed up, then you just missed them, all right? But this morning I thought, you know, I'm going to preach this message Sunday morning. Moses gives us a warning. But let me kind of give you the background for where this came in, all right? The Israelites in Numbers chapter 32, they were on the verge of crossing over the Jordan River and finally moving in to possess the promised land, okay? It had taken 40 extra years to get here, but it was finally time to begin to conquering the land God had promised to them many years before, all right? And when it got to that point, in this chapter, what happened is the tribes of Reuben and Gad came to Moses and said, hey, we want our inheritance. We want our part of the land on this side of the Jordan River. We want our part on the east side of the Jordan River. Now, that land seemed to them ideal for raising herds and flocks, and that was their specialty. That's what they did. So they saw that land, and they said to Moses, Moses, look, just let God give us our portion here. Let us have our portion here. Now, Moses wasn't happy with their request. And he warned them, all right? He warned them. He said, now listen. He said, okay, but. Did you need to realize this? If you're going to take your portion here, you're still obligated to cross the Jordan with us and help us conquer the land. You're still obligated to do that. You can't just say, hey, we're here, we're settling here, that part over there is yours, you go conquer it, you're on your own, good luck, see ya. He said to them, no, sir, you have to come with us. You have to be involved in the conquering of that land. That's the will of God. He said it's your responsibility to take care of it. Now in verse 18, look at verse 18. We didn't read it. Here's what they had told him. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. They turned to Moses and they promised. Moses, we look at verse 19. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward. He said, we're not going to come back here, though, until they fully got their inheritance. And because of that, that's when Moses said, okay. And he began to give them the words that we find in verse 20. He said, if you'll do it, good deal, all right? And if you'll do that, you'll go armed and you'll help take care of it, that'll be good. But then we get to verse 23. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Hey, Moses gave those words. What a warning he gave to them. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's just as true today as it was then. The Bible is always up to date. Always up to date. Hey, it was 3,500 years ago that Moses said, if you don't, but you have sinned against the Lord, be sure your sin will find you out. He said, that's the way it is. You need to know it. You need to be aware of it. And here's the warning. Well, I want you with me this morning, if you will. We're just going to take a look at verse 23, all right? And hopefully be warned. Hopefully be warned, if you will. Now, first thing I want you to notice in this warning, deity is involved. Deity is involved. Notice what he says. You see, I think we lose track of this sometimes. He said, ye have sinned against the Lord. He didn't say you've sinned against your people, the other 10 tribes. He said, you've sinned against the Lord. Your sin is against the Lord. Folks, I want to tell you something. All sin is against God. All sin is against God. Now, when he's talking about, he's really talking about a sin of omission. Normally, when we talk about that sin that's going to find you out, normally what we humans think of, we think of something we have done, and it's going to come to light, and we're going to have to give an account of it. But don't you notice that's a sin of commission. You commit some sin. But oftentimes our sin is what we fail to do rather than what we do, all right? It works both ways. All of those sins, I just want to tell you, all of them are against God. But people in our day say, it only hurts me. That's a lie. It hurts God. Friend, don't tell you, God didn't put you here. He didn't create you to sin. That's not your purpose for being here, all right? He didn't bring you into this world so you could ignore his law, disregard his instructions, or disobey his commandments. He didn't put you here for that purpose. You were here to serve him. You ever stop and think of all the creation God created, everything he created? It's only man that can have fellowship with God and serve God. Only man. Hey, you may have the most well-trained dog in all the world, but your dog can't sing God's praise. Yeah, I know, I've heard dogs howl too, all right? We used to have Chihuahuas, and if we'd get in, my mom would sometimes play the accordion. She'd get the accordion out, those old Chihuahuas, they'd start howling. I'm going to tell you something, they weren't praising God, all right? They were complaining because their ears were hurting, all right? That's what was going on. God didn't put anything else on this earth besides man that could praise him and could serve him. That's our job. That's what we're here for. And our sin is against God. Now, I'll be honest with you. Our sin may be against friends. It could be against family. It could be against fellow humans or whoever. But you mark it down. You can count on it. Your sin's against God. Your sin is against God. It is against Him. When the child of God, listen, you say, well, I'm a Christian. Good for you. Take your Bible, would you, and go over to chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews. Don't lose your place here in Numbers, all right? But you go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to see a Bible truth, okay? A Bible truth. The Word of God's quite thorough in what it says and getting it out, all right? And in we'll begin in verse 26, all right? Verse 26. You there? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. The Bible says, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Hey, what do you think you can do, you can get away with? You think, well, my sins just hurt me. Wait a minute. You've trampled on the blood of Christ. When you willfully sin, you willfully disregard what the Bible said and what you know to do is right, or what you know to do that not do because it's wrong, and you go ahead and commit that sin. Hey, bud, you've sinned against God. And God, Moses warned us, he said, that sin, you've sinned against the Lord. You've sinned against the Lord. It's not something you can just shrug off and say, doesn't hurt anybody but me. No, it hurts God. It hurts God. Hey, that warning involves deity because your sin involves God, okay? But I want you to notice again back there in Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, notice what it says, and be sure. Be sure. Here's a warning that's definite. Definite. Man, that warning is definite. It's not only involving deity, but it is a sure thing. The Bible does not say, be fairly certain. Nor does it say, there is a good chance. It doesn't say that. It says, be sure. Be sure. That is a definite word. Now, friend, when the Bible says, be sure, then it's 100% guarantee without any measure of doubt about it. You can count on it, all right? It's as sure as the fact the sun's coming up in the morning, that night is going to follow day, and hell's hot and heaven's not, okay? It's sure, it's certain. The Bible said, be sure, definite thing. You can count on it. You say, well, it hasn't happened yet. Wait a minute. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. You know, people get the idea, well, I've sinned and I got away with it. No, you didn't get away with it. You did not get away with it. Well, nobody saw me. Somebody did. Somebody did. Well, I've not had to be accountable for it yet. Yep, but that's the word yet. That's like the fellow fell off the Empire State Building. He passed the 57th floor. He said everything's okay so far. But that was just so far, all right? Hey, there was a reckoning coming. There's a reckoning coming. You mark it down when the Bible said, be sure, definite. We're talking what God, this warning that Moses gives is a very definite thing. You can count on it. There's no doubt about it. You can be sure about it. But I want you to see this too. Notice what it is. Be sure. But notice the next two words in verse 23. Be sure. Next two words are your sin. Your sin. Hey, this warning is directed directly at you. And it's personal. It's personal. You know, great thing about the Bible's a personal book. This warning, there's nothing general about it. It's your sin. your sin. I think sometimes people come to church and the preacher's preaching and they sit in the pew thinking, I hope so-and-so's hearing this. I hope that fellow over there on that pew, I hope he's got it. Sometimes spouses, I think, sit next and they think, well, I hope my husband's listening. Or I hope my wife's listening. I hope they're getting the message. Hey, can I say this to you? This is a personal warning. It's not to the person next to you. It's to you. It's not to your brother. It's not to your sister. It's not to your spouse. It's not your friend. Hey, it's your sin that's the problem. It's your sin that evokes the warning. It's that sin. We live in a day where people love to pass the buck. We love to pass it on to somebody else. We like to try to hide in the crowd, okay? I mean, how many millions, well, billions now, billions of people there are on the face of the earth. And I think sometimes we figure with all of those people, the odds are with me. That's good. I mean, the odds are good. I mean, here I am. It's amazing. We think we can sin. And because there's so many that our sin will be overlooked, but we'll play the stupid lottery thinking, man, my odds are good of winning. Those two don't match, okay? Those two do not match up. The Bible said it's your sin, all right? We think the odds are with us. We think it's always the other fellow who's going to be found out. Hey, it's that other guy that'll be struck by lightning, not by me. Not going to be me, it'll be him, all right? Hey, can I say this to you? It makes no difference who you are. It's your sin that stands to be exposed. Your economic status won't prevent it or enhance it. Your popularity or lack of popularity are not going to intervene in the subject. The passage of time is not going to change this fact. Hey, there's some sins they were committed years ago that have never come out, but they will. But it will, all right? It will. Be sure. Your sin. Hey, you got it. That warning's personal. It's direct. It is. It's directed at your sin, and that warning is about a coming disaster. You look at that verse and it says, be sure your sin will find you out. It'll find you out. When it comes to light, disaster is coming with it. Hey, if it was a good thing, you wouldn't try to hide it. Now, we live in a day where there are some folks that seem to take pride in their sin and certain sins, and they flaunt it. But I want you to know there are people out all across this old world, they may flaunt some sins, but there's some that they've got they do their best to hide. And they think, I'll be okay because I've got it hidden. And you may be sitting here this morning thinking, preacher, you don't know what I've done, and you're right, I don't. I'm not sitting here with a list in my pocket and saying, if you don't get right with God, I'm going to announce it at the end of the service. I'll call your name and what you've done. I'm not spent my week snooping around your house. Okay? It's not what I've been doing. I haven't hired an army of private detectives to shadow your every move, to watch you. I don't know. Don't know what it is. We've not piped into your home to see what you're watching on TV or what you're pulling up on the internet or what you're pulling up on your phone. Haven't done that. I don't have that list, but I'll tell you this, God knows. God knows. It's not important that the preacher knows. What's important is the fact that you know and God knows. You know what's happened. You know it's there. Hey, like I say, we hide things. We don't hide things because we're proud of it. We hide things because we know we're guilty and we're ashamed of it. And we try to keep it hidden. But the Bible said it'll find you out. be sure your sin will find you out. Now, you think about it just a little bit. How's it going to find me out? Could find you out in your family. It did with King David. It did with King David. King David had some mighty rough years because of his sin. And the roughness was with his own family. His own son rebelled against him, tried to take the throne away from him. Man, he had sons killing brothers. What a mess. What a mess. Hey, your sin may find you out in your family. Could find you out in your health. Could be revealed in your health. The Bible says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians, it says a sin that have been committed, and he said, because of that, many are weak and sickly among you. Now, wait just a minute. Whoa, hang on just a second. Before you sit there and go, you know, I was wondering about Ms. So-and-so. Now I know why she's having help. No, you better be careful. You better be careful there about you deciding what's going on. You better take some real strong stop there and think about it, all right? It's not you that figures it out, but it could be that. But you better quit worrying about what's going on in somebody else's life. You better look at it in yours. Hey, your sin may find you out in financial difficulties. I'll be honest with you, your sin may not come to light till the judgment seat. May not. Years ago, when we first moved to Texas, not too long before we moved here, we had some folks that were members of our church in Florida. A man, his wife, had two kids, and he had surrendered to preach. God called him to preach, and they moved out here for him to go to Bible Baptist Seminary, Bible College. And he came here, and then it wasn't too long we moved out here, and about a year or so later, probably, he was driving a bus for Fort Worth. He was a bus driver for Fort Worth. The last run of that night, somebody pulled out a gun and shot him dead on the bus. As far as I know, never been found out who did it. But you mark it down. It'll come to light. It'll come to light. It may be at the judgment seat. It may be at the great white throne judgment. But you mark it down. We're not talking about their sin. We're talking about your sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. You can't hide it. You can't escape it. You can't run from it. There's only one thing you can do. Let me invite your attention to Proverbs chapter 28 this morning. You say, preacher, I don't want to have to meet my sin. Well, there's only one thing you can do in any hope of avoiding that sin meeting you face to face one day. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13 says this, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I'll tell you, mercy and grace are wonderful things. And they're available today. They're available today. You can come to the Lord and you can confess that sin. Hey, it's a good thing. You don't have to come confess it to me. You don't have to confess it to anybody else in this world. You can come straight to God and confess that sin and find forgiveness. And if you'll confess it and forsake it, God said, I'll give you mercy. I'll give you mercy. Now, mercy is you getting something you don't deserve. That's what mercy is. God says, you don't deserve it, but I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. If you'll come and confess it, he said, whoso confesseth his sin shall have mercy. And if we'll confess it, he'll forgive us, folks. He'll forgive us. But it's a matter of us coming clean with him. Matter of us coming clean with him. You say, preacher, I don't want to meet my sin. I don't want it to find me out. I don't want to face the consequences. Now you hear me just for a second. I'm going to tell you this. I said you can come and confess that sin and forsake it and find mercy. But I'm not saying to you, you can wipe away all the consequences. Because there's sometimes, buddy, there's some sin. You can find forgiveness, you'll be forgiven, but you're still going to live with the consequences. You're still going to live with the consequences. That fellow that's ruined, I'll just give you this example. It's not the only one, but it's the easiest one to talk to you about. That fellow that spent his years tipping back that bottle and drinking the booze, it destroys his liver. Now he can come and ask God to forgive him, and God will forgive the sin. He'll give him mercy. He'll forgive it, but it's not going to straighten out that liver. Not going to do that. He can still die from cirrhosis of the liver. I'm saying to you, I'm not saying, hey, if you'll come now, there'll never be any consequence to your sin. No, but I'm saying you can get mercy today. You can get mercy today. Isn't that what you want? No, I'd rather spend my life running and hiding my sin. Oh, not me. I mean, man, I want his mercy. I want the mercy of God. Can't tell you how many times I've cried out for that mercy because I needed it. I didn't deserve it, but I had a problem. My sin was, as David says, ever before me. And I had to confess it. And I had to come to him and seek that mercy. Hey, friend, you be sure. You be sure your sin will find you out. You remember this. You said it didn't hurt nobody but me. Your sin, you sinned against the Lord. You sinned against him. Hey, listen, when God laid down the laws, when he said this is right and that is wrong, you disobey that, you sinned against God. You sinned against God. The Bible said, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. That's right. Now, if you disobey them, you say, well, I just sinned against my parents. No, you sinned against God. We've got to come to that understanding. It's not just, well, it only hurt me. No, you sinned against God. And you be sure your sin will find you out. Now here's the question this morning. Are you going to let it find you out, or are you going to come find mercy? Are you going to come find mercy? Hey, we're fixing to have the invitation. We're going to invite people to come. You say, I ain't coming. People think, what in the world have they been doing? I tell you, they better come clean their own house, not worry about yours. It's not your house that I've got to worry about. It's mine. Bud, the invitation time's time for people to get right with God. Time for us to walk the aisle and seek God's forgiveness. You said, preacher, nobody knows what I've done. You know. God knows. Why don't you just keep it between y'all, but you come and confess it and forsake it this morning and let him give you mercy. Would you do that? Why walk out the door this morning still carrying the burden of guilt? Why carry that home with you? Why think, well, maybe I can just get away with it one more week? No. Don't try it. Don't try it. Come now. Come now. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd get a hold of our hearts. You'd help us to see our need. You'd help us to realize where we've sinned. Lord, we'd point that place out. You'd put your finger on that sin in our life. Help us to see it and admit it. And Lord, help us to come today and confess, to find mercy, to find forgiveness, and Lord, be able to go home with a burden of guilt removed. Lord, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Lord, speak to us today. Move in our midst, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please, as we sing page 17 this morning, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Hey, invitation times for all of us, okay? For all of us is for coming clean and confessing to God. Now's the time to come. Will you confess it? Will you forsake it this morning while we sing this verse? Come on. Come on while we sing.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way.